Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day today. We had a beautiful week. I just want to take a moment and say thank you to everyone that helped out with the junior day camp. Whether you were actually here participating and helping out and doing a bunch of different things that a lot of you did, or you were at home or at work praying for us, we greatly appreciated it. We had just about 30 kids here over the course of the week. It was a really, really good time. We had a lot of fun with them. I worked at a camp for quite a few years, and I had kind of forgotten how fun it is to work with junior age kids. And there are so many quotable moments throughout the week. And I just wanted to share one with you because it was one of the most quotable moments that I have ever heard. There was this little boy that was, he's probably 7 years old, and he was talking to some of his friends. And someone, one of the adults, overheard him say something. And so I just wanted to make sure that that it was heard correctly because it was so profound. So I went over and I asked him, what the question was is someone had asked him or he just gave his opinion on girls. And I said, hey, what is your opinion of girls? And he said, they are the crabgrass of life. And I was like, well, obviously it was not misheard, and that's exactly, I was like, well, why do you mean that? He's like, they're always telling you what to do. And I was like, we'll see what his opinion is in about 10 years. I feel like it might change just a little bit. But we had a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of moments like that. Lots of good time. I did a lot of trivia question times with them where I'd ask them different questions from the Bible. I did some world trivia. Some just fun times with them for them to earn candy, obviously their favorite moment of the day. And there was just some amazing answers. Like, I did not know that one of the states of the United States is Russia. There's just a lot of amazing answers out there when you open it up to kids. We had a blast with them, lots of fun activities. Friday was a lot of fun. We rented a couple bounce houses that had water hooked up to them. So they had this giant inflatable water slide that they absolutely loved. It was just a great time with them. It was a fun time to be able to share with them some things from God's Word. We went through the missionary story of Herbert Grings, which Brother Grings that we support, this is his grandfather who originally went over to the Republic of the Congo. We were able to read through his story. The kids really enjoyed that. We went through, they had some personal time with the Lord in the morning. We had a bunch of different activities, and we had a closing lesson time where we went through the Ten Commandments. So we did two each day. Pastor Randy and myself broke that up and covered two each day. Had a really good time with them doing that. Obviously, the Tenth Commandment is do not covet. And this morning, I want to talk about, as Pastor Mike told me this morning, the two big C's. The topic of covetousness versus contentment. And if we think about it, each one of us deals with this issue. Are we going to be content with what we have in whatever aspect of life, or are we going to be covetous of something that we do not have? And whether this is a major struggle or a minor struggle, each one of us is going to deal with this in one way or another. And thankfully, we have in Scripture many different instances where this topic is dealt with. Therefore, we understand that this is not something that is just unique to us today. And also specifically, we see times where Christ himself, during his ministry on earth, dealt with this very topic. We find that specifically this morning in the book of Luke and chapter 12. So if you could turn there with me this morning, the book of Luke and chapter 12, we're going to be looking verses 13 through 31. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin looking at verse 13. The verse says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside. Lord, the time that we can be in here to worship you, to have time to sing praises to you, to give back to you, to spend time in fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, thank you for all that you have blessed us with. But Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this topic of covetousness and contentment, Lord, that you would bring such a sense of contentment in our lives as followers of you that we would have no desire to be covetous of anything. Lord, that we would find our contentment in you. Lord, I also pray if there is someone here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that today they would be able to find out about the only true source of contentment that we can ever have in our lives, and that is you. And Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved that you would help us to find our contentment in you. And Lord, that you would use the message this morning to work in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think about times of covetousness, times of contentment in your life. Obviously, being with the junior age children this week, it is just an amazing picture of what both of those look like. Maybe a little bit more emphasizing on the covetousness side. It was awesome after Friday's message. Pastor Randy did the message on Friday, and he talked about the 10th commandment, covetousness. Right after that, I did the award ceremony where I gave away, we had a competition throughout the week of memory verses. So one of the purposes of the week was to be able to learn how to hide God's word in their heart. But there's also some incentive to be able to do that, and so there was different award winners for each class. And obviously, we know in life that there are winners and there are losers. People do not receive a participation trophy, at least they shouldn't. And as I gave away the awards, it was a really good lesson because they had just learned about contentment. So remember to be content with what you have and don't be covetous of those that are walking away with the prizes. And as much as we talk about it, it is obviously still really hard for a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid to see their friend with that big bag of candy, and they don't have it. Now, you could always be really, really, it's always funny to see the kids. When someone gets something that they want, they become best friends instantly, whether they were just enemies a second ago, but they're going to be really, really kind to them. I do feel like sometimes we as adults, though, kind of get in that same attitude. You know, someone has something that we want, maybe we begin to treat them differently, whether right or wrong. You know, there's obviously times when we were younger where we desired something that a friend had. They got the brand new toy. And man, you were content with the toy that you had that was pretty much the exact same thing, but maybe a year older. But now your friend has something, and boy, you really, really want that. Or maybe they just got the new game that has just come out. You're like, oh man, this game is fun, and I was having fun with this, but now somebody else has something new. I really want that. It doesn't really change, though, as we get older. You know, you're driving around, you're enjoying your car. Your car is a perfectly good car, gets you where you need to go. But boy, your neighbor just bought a brand new car. And you're sitting there, you're like, boy, I am extremely, extremely jealous of that. I have always wanted a smart car. And that is what I really, really want. Like, my whole desire of my life is to squish myself and my family into this little matchbox. And I really desire that. Now, maybe it's not a smart car, but you all know what it's like to see someone that you know or maybe you don't know very well that has something that you desire. It is natural for us all to covet after things. If it weren't natural for us, the Lord wouldn't have to deal with it. It wouldn't have had to have been one of the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to the Israelites. It wouldn't have to be something that Christ would have to deal specifically with in this passage. Think about the examples of covetousness in the Bible. Obviously, we think about Achan. We talked about him a month or so ago. And the example that he set that was wrong of how he coveted after the things and he took them and it ended up costing him and his family their lives. You think about Saul, when he coveted the things after he had taken over, won the battle, and he was directly told to destroy everything, and yet he kept back a portion of what he had captured. There's examples of covetousness all throughout the Bible. There's examples of covetousness all throughout history. And as we are honest with ourselves, there's examples of covetousness in each one of our lives. We obviously realize that contentment is something that the Lord desires from us. He tells us that we need to be content with such things as we have. He also tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Understanding that contentment is supposed to be the overall pervading attitude of the believer as opposed to covetousness, we should be focused on that. We should not allow ourselves to begin to desire the things that we do not have. Now, obviously, is desiring something always wrong? No. It is not wrong to desire something. When it becomes wrong is when we allow it to consume our lives because we are not content with what we have. I'm not saying this morning that it is wrong for you to desire anything. It is wrong for you to desire something new, something that you do not have. Obviously, we have those natural desires, things that are okay to desire. But covetousness is going above and beyond the natural desire of what is right. And it is allowing yourself to be consumed with it, to where you forget about what you have, you forget about what the Lord has already given you, and you begin to get consumed with what you do not have. I want to look at, first of all, this morning, the principle of contentment that we find in the verses that we just read. We understand the context here is that someone in the crowd that Christ is speaking to asked him a question. He asked him specifically a question about how to divide the inheritance with his brother, which was obviously something that was a big deal back then. And first of all, Christ says, "Who made me a judge over how to divide these things?" But then he gives him a principle. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." He gives him a warning. Beware of covetousness. Do not allow covetousness to control your life. We obviously understand, as I mentioned, the 10th commandment. Exodus 20:17 says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." The same principle was applied back to the Israelites. It is being applied to these people here. What is Christ's definition of covetousness? Well, by understanding what he says at the end of verse 15, we can get a picture of it. It is basing the quality of your life on the things that you own. If you are basing the quality of your life and how well things are going for you based on what you own, then you are living a covetous lifestyle. And you are allowing covetousness to control you. Christ says instead of basing our life on the things that we own, we need to realize that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. But what does the world tell us? What is the overall attitude of everyone around us? Everyone that we're working with, the people that we interact with the store, the people that we see on TV, the people that we hear about. It is all about the abundance of the things that they own. It is this great race to see who can own the most, who can do the best in their lifestyle, who can have the most things to say, "Oh yeah, look at me, I have the most." What is the problem with that though? It never ends. There is never a point that I have ever heard of where someone who was always striving for more reached that point where they had everything. Because as much as you may try, if you are continually striving for more, there is always more to be had. Because if you're trying to find your sense of contentment in getting more, you're never going to find that true contentment. And that is why Christ says that you should not focus your life on the amount of things that you possess. But what's awesome is that Christ, as he did many, many times, as he didn't just leave it with this principle, he gave an application to it, or he gave an example of it. And we see that in the parable on covetousness, which we find in the next few verses. And he said in verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What's interesting about this parable is the way that it starts. Is Christ then spoke a parable unto them, to the people that were there. When it says unto them, he's talking to the multitude that was there. To understand who was there, we look back at verse 1 of chapter 12. where it said, "And in the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another." So Christ is speaking, as he did so often in his ministry, to a large group of people. And this group of people consisted of those that were following him continually, the people that, you know, were kind of just curious. They had heard of this rabbi, this teacher. It consisted also of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were watching to wait to see what would happen. It consisted of a large different group of people that were coming from all different walks of life, those that actually genuinely desired to follow Christ, that believed in him, and those that didn't. Therefore, this parable is to be explained to all people. It's meant to be understood by everyone. And what Christ is trying to explain here, the purpose of this parable is not the statement to don't go out and build bigger barns. Being a farmer myself, by name, you have to understand that this is not saying do not go out and build bigger barns. Now, thankfully, I did was able to experience working on a farm growing up. I'm very thankful for that. So I can say I actually have experience working on a farm. And there's obviously times where you need more storage. If you have a really good year, you have to either build bigger barns, build bigger grain bins or silos, or you have to go and place it somewhere else. But what he is saying here is not that the sin was going and building bigger barns. It was the attitude behind it of this foolish rich man. When he said to himself, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." It was not necessarily wrong for him to have a place to store more, but it was the attitude that we find in the next verse. In verse 19, it says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." What did he do with the abundance of things that he had been given by the Lord? Well, first of all, the very thing that we just said there, he didn't acknowledge that it was from the Lord. He is saying to himself, "Wow, look at all that I have gotten. Look at all that I have given myself. Everything that I have earned, that I have done." You know, just kind of patting himself on the shoulder. He's saying, "You know what I'm going to do with that? I'm just going to kind of sit back, going to enjoy my life, and I'm just going to let everything sit there. You know, I don't really need to do anything with it. What would I do with it?" What Christ is saying here is that instead of just sitting back and living it up, he should have seen how he could have then used that to help others. How he could have used that to further the Lord's work, to take what he had been given and then bless those around him. Because obviously we understand there are some people in life who are blessed with more than others. And what the whole idea of the church is, we are able to bless those that are less fortunate than ourselves, to bless those that the Lord gives us an opportunity to bless. God does not give us things in order to just sit back and enjoy them and to just kind of live on them, to sit them as this man tried to do, but in order to bless those around us. It's one of the amazing things that we can do as a church body today. And what God said to him in verse 20 is very telling. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." The Lord judged him instantly. The Lord took that hard attitude and he judged him. And it says, "Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You see, he's telling him, you need to understand that these things were not yours in the first place. We like to take possession of the things that we own because we think we own them, actually. Whereas if we died right now, who would own them? Who owns the things that we actually have? Okay, well, maybe we're allowed to kind of have ownership over them right now, but we are given that ability by the Lord. And what we need to realize is that everything that we have is not actually ours. It is the Lord's. And he is allowing us to show stewardship over them at this time. And he says in verse 21, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He's saying, are you laying up treasure for yourself, or are you trying to lay up treasure for the Lord? Christ goes on and he does some more explaining here. And we see in the next few verses the purpose of contentment, the application of contentment. But this application is made to a very specific group of people. Because it says in verse 22, "And he said unto his disciples." You see, why does it say that Christ specifically made this application to his disciples? Because the general overarching idea is to not have covetousness in your life should be applied to everyone. No one should have that. But the applications that he is about to make here only directly applied to those that were following him, to those who would eventually, as we see later in this passage, inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, those that are seeking the kingdom of God. What does he say here? In verse 22, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" He's saying, do not take a thought for what you have need for. He's saying, think about the animals. Think of the birds of the air. They don't have barns. They don't have the ability to go build a barn where they can store up these things. And yet, do they eat? Do they survive? Yes. Why? Because the Lord cares for them. Because the Lord takes care of them. He gives them an ability to eat, the ability to get the things that they need. And then you ask a very interesting question here. If I have care for the birds, do not I have much more care for you? Think about that. If Christ truly cares about the birds, cares about the animals, cares about the fish in the sea, and they survive, and they do well, and really they don't desire more because that's all that they know is what they need, yet doesn't Christ love us more? How do we know that? Because he created us in his image. He created us to worship him. God has a special love for us as humans because he created us after himself. Therefore, if he is going to take care of the birds and the fish and the animals, isn't he much more going to take care of us? And yet we make so much about our life to be so much more than what we really need. We make it about everything that we don't need. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things that are enjoyable in life, but what is the purpose in having those? Is it to better be able to go about what the Lord has you doing? Or is it just to sit back, drink, eat, and as this foolish rich man, just not even think about how the Lord could use what he has given you? How he could better use you in that way. And he goes on, not only is there the physical need, the food that you need, but it says in verse 25, "And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?" How many of you can, without just by thinking about it, just make yourself taller? How many of you can think about making yourself stronger? We can't do that. We're not able to do that. The Lord is the one that provides the ability to do these things. And if we are concerned about that which is in the least, why are we taking thought about the rest of those things? He says in verse 27, for another example, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And saying, if the flowers, if the lilies of the field, the things that just grow in the wild that God is directly allowing to do that, if they are flourishing, why are we not realizing that we are able to flourish as well? He says, consider even Solomon, who was one of the most wealthy kings that have ever lived on the face of the earth, the most wealthy person that you could look at and say, wow, he was doing well. But even in him, in his glory, and all that he had, was not even like the flowers of the field that the Lord directly blessed. He says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He's saying, if we are so worried about where we're going to get clothing from, where we're going to get provisions from, and yet we don't even consider how the Lord takes care of the grass, takes care of the flowers, how they have everything that they need, and yet we feel like we need more and more and more. And yet God continually shows himself to provide for us. He then goes on in verse 29 and says, "And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." Saying, don't consider yourself to be lacking in any of these areas, because if you're truly following after the Lord, he will provide them. What is the idea, though, that we need to realize? That this is a common misconception among all humans. How do we know that? He says in verse 30, "For all these things that he just listed, do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." What is the basic misconception behind seeking after these things? It's because we think about that we're the only ones that realize we need these things. We're the only one thinking about this. Boy, I have to go get the newest, best thing. I have to provide for myself. I get all worried. I get all concerned about how I'm going to provide for these things. Yet we need to realize that we are not the only ones worried about this or concerned about this in our life. God knows our needs. God knows our needs better than we do. God can see ahead in our life. He can see what we are in need of. There's many times that the Lord can bless you with something and you don't even realize why he did that. And yet, all of a sudden, something comes about in your life, and you're like, oh, wow, that is exactly why the Lord blessed me with that. There are so many times where we need to realize that the Lord blesses us and prepares us for things that we're not even ready for. Why? Because we are short-sighted. We can only see what is happening right now. And sometimes we can't even see what is happening right now very well. Yet the Lord knows what is happening in our life currently and what is happening in our life in the future. The Lord knows what he is doing in our life right now so that it will work towards his master plan for all of humanity. And yet we can barely understand what is going on in our lives at the moment. That is all the more reason to trust him and to allow him to guide our life, to allow him to provide for us, to allow him to care for us. Verse 30 is explaining to us that followers of Christ should not be concerned with these things. Why? Because the Lord knows what we have need of. The Lord cares for us. As he just said, if he cares for the fish, if he cares for the birds, if he cares for the flowers of the field, he cares for us. He knows our needs. We need but to trust in him. Instead, the focus should be to seek the kingdom of God. Verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, instead of focusing on each of these individual needs, instead of focusing on where our next meal is going to come from or how we can gather more, you see, what is different about where we started out, where we're desiring more and more and more, is Christ is telling us that not only is it wrong to be consumed with what we don't have, in the idea of getting more into our lives, it is also wrong for us as believers to become consumed with what we think we need. Because when we allow ourselves to be consumed with what we think we need in an unhealthy way, we are losing our focus on that the Lord knows our needs. We are losing the focus that God will provide. You see, just as it is wrong to desire the next, newest, best thing, it is wrong to be consumed with what is going on in our day-to-day life. This does not mean that we should just kind of lay back and like, okay, whatever's going to happen. No, the Lord has given us the ability. He has given us jobs. He has given us the opportunity to earn what we need. We should have a desire to provide for our families, men. We should have a desire to earn what we are able to live off of, but it should not consume us. It should not take us to a point where we forget that the Lord knows our needs. Instead, our focus should be to seek after the kingdom of God. It should be to become closer to the Lord. And when we do that, when we go after those things, what does it say at the end of verse 31? All these things shall be added unto you. When we are focused on what the Lord has for us, he promises to bless us with what we need. Instead of just focusing on what we want and allowing ourselves to get consumed with what we think we need to be consumed with Christ. We need to be consumed with what he has for us. Instead of trying to look too far down the road because we can't see down the road very far, we need to be focused on what is right before us, and that is Christ. And if Christ is our goal, if Christ is our main thought every single day, he promises to bless us and to provide for us in everything that we need. And you know what's interesting? What we think we need and what Christ thinks we need is something completely different. What we think we need is always this stuff over here, something over here. See, we're kind of like walking down the grocery aisle of life, and Christ is giving us the groceries that we need, and we're like, oh, but this looks really good, or this looks really good. It's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry. Always a very bad idea. When you go to the grocery store and you're hungry, you're almost always going to buy stuff that you really don't need. Because your perspective is, oh, I think I need that because I'm really hungry right now. But if we are full in Christ, if we are so full and consumed with what He has for us, we're not going to get anything above that we need. Because Christ is going to be blessing us and giving us what we truly need. God promises that He is watching over us. He promises to take care of our needs. And He gives us the ability to provide for ourselves, to provide for our families. We have to trust Him to do that, though. We thankfully do not have to bear the burden of that. We thankfully don't have to feel the whole weight of that, because God promises in another passage to bear the burden alongside of us. All the burdens that we're facing, Christ promises to bear with us and bear for us. But in this specifically, He promises to provide for us. You see, we need to have a renewed focus and a refocusing on what we actually need. And what we need is Christ. And when that is our focus, He begins to show us what we actually need in life. He begins to show us what we don't need in life. And that is why we need to have that focus on Him. What are some applications for us this morning? What can we take home? Why should we listen to this? Why should this matter to us? You see, folks, we need to keep our focus on eternity, not on this life. If we become so consumed with what's happening in this life and we forget about eternity, we do not have an eternal focus. We do not have the focus that God desires for us to have. Because let me tell you, if we get distracted with what's going on around us, in our local community, in our state, in our country, in our world, boy, it gets depressing. And boy, we feel like we need a whole lot more than we actually do. But if we get focused on what Christ has for us, we have that eternal focus, we are focused on Him, He promises to provide for us. We need to have the same attitude that Paul desired to have, where he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I'm pressing toward the mark. See, that race he realized that he was on, it wasn't about the things that were going on in the race. It was about the end result. It was about that finish line, about finishing the race well. And Paul said, could say at the end of his life that he had fought the good fight, that he had run the race well. That should be our desire. It shouldn't be distracted about what's going on in the middle of life. It should be focused on eternity. But folks, let me share with you today that true contentment, true eternal purpose can only come through Christ. And if you're here today and maybe you're struggling with getting distracted in the things of life, maybe you can think maybe that is because you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There may be a lot of things going on in your life where you are struggling with needs. You're struggling with those feelings of covetousness. You're struggling with those feelings of not feeling like you have what you truly need. Is it because you're missing Christ in your life? If you are here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, that is the most amazing, greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. Because He promises to be all that you need. If we are focused on Christ, if we allow Him into our lives, He promises to bring that contentment that we can experience nowhere else. Secondly, not only do we need to keep our focus on eternity, but more practically speaking, let's keep our focus on others and not ourselves. One of the best ways that we can show we have an eternal focus is by keeping a focus on other people and not looking out for number one, for ourselves, but looking out for those around us. What did Christ say about that? He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. If we are truly saying that we are followers of Christ, that we truly have an eternal focus, that we are not trying to be covetousness, have covetousness in our life, that we truly desire to have contentment, we can show that by having a love for those around us. That means that the Lord blesses us with something, whether it be time, resources, supplies, whatever it may be, bless those around you. Allow the Lord to use what you have to bless others. And by doing so, we are telling the Lord and we are telling others that our focus is not on ourselves. That we're not trying to lay up those stores like that foolish rich man did. That we are turning that focus on others by keeping the focus on Christ. Folks, we need to realize that covetousness is something that can and will control our lives if we allow it to. But God desires us to show contentment. He desires us to show contentment with what He has given us. And He even further desires to show contentment by trusting in what He will give us and what He will provide us with. So let me ask you, is this a struggle that you're having this morning? Is there something in your life that you're just having a hard time giving to the Lord? We need to remember that God promises to provide for us. He promises to provide for us, and He knows what our needs are. You don't need to feel alone. You don't need to feel like you're the only one that knows what's going on in your life. God knows. God cares. God loves you. How do I know that? He loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you. If in nothing else we should find contentment, we should find contentment that God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us, to give us that free gift of salvation. And if He loved you that much then, how much more does He love you as we go about our lives, as He promises to provide for us? Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for the love that You gave us. Thank You so much for everything that You promised to bless us with. Lord, I pray this morning that You would help all of us to look into our lives and see if there is any aspect of our lives that we are allowing to not be controlled by You, to not be focused on You. Lord, it is so easy to allow covetousness to creep up in our lives, to control us. Lord, I pray that our desire would be to be focused completely on You. Lord, help us to be looking for ways that we can keep that focus on You, to not be consumed with what we think we need, but to be consumed with what You desire for us. Help us to reach out to others, to show the love that You have given to us by reaching out to those around us. Lord, help us to keep that eternal focus. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to grow closer to You each and every day as we draw closer to You and draw closer to that finish line. Thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to hymn number 473. I am Thine, O Lord. As we stand, we'll sing the first verse. I am Thine, O Lord. Our prayer this morning, are you completely given to the Lord? It says, I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Is that your desire? Are we desiring to be closer drawn to the Lord? Or are we allowing ourselves to be consumed with the things that we think we need or the things that we want? Allow ourselves to be drawn closer to the Lord. Number 473 on the first.
I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice, and it's all Thy law to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer.
Let's all, as we leave here today, have that focus together so that we're so focused on the Lord and focused on each other that we're just blessing each other. I'm thankful for this church, and that is the attitude that I see here. But we can all get better at it. We can all get closer to the Lord. We can all have more of a focus on others instead of ourselves. Pray that you all have an awesome day. We look forward to coming back tonight as Pastor Randy preaches on the different struggles that we have in relationships with each other and the conflict that we can have and how we can respond to that biblically. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You so much for everything You've blessed us with. Help us as we leave here today to be focused on that, to be thinking about how much You have given to us. And Lord, thank You so much that You have given us the opportunity to spend eternity with You so that we can have that eternal focus. Pray all these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.